We're live. Hello, Grant.
Hey, Juzzy.
What's up?
Oh, you know, living the canon life.
Yeah, you are. You are a canon man now. You're officially a man with a canon and not a Nikon.
Screw you, Nikon.
No hard feelings, I'm sure. We'll get to it. We'll get to you. So you've got a new camera, new lens.
New lens,
sold all your old gear, and you're excited. You got a new hoodie too.
New hoodie. Oh, yeah. Where's the brand? There it is.
Yeah, that's your logo.
Drew it on myself. That's my new logo.
Very nice.
Hopefully a big winter.
So that's the plan. Winter photography, ramping up.
Yep. I'm pretty excited to do landscapes again too.
What about that podcast with Jay Collier? How much of that did you end up watching?
Oh, I reckon I got to see the last half an hour to an hour when he was talking about Antarctica and all those icebergs.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
That was unbelievable.
The lionheads.
Those portraits.
That's why I was like, today I want to buy a 500 millimeter
and go shoot wildlife. If anyone hasn't caught that interview with Jay Collier from Monday, it just made me want to get out and shoot. He's done so much stuff, so many different styles of photography and different trips over the years. And then the cool thing is, I mean, some of the trips are not quite accessible for me yet, but having people like that around make the trips accessible for the average person if you can afford to go. Mm-hmm. It's definitely got me excited to shoot things that aren't for work, you know. That's the thing.
Yeah. It's
like going to Antarctica, going to Africa, they're trips that you do purely for the enjoyment, the experience, and to capture photos for yourself. And that's what I've been thinking about a lot lately, is what is photography to me if it's not work? So.
And you think a Leica will fix that?
Yeah, no. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is I walked into a Leica store in Melbourne for the first time on the weekend. I don't know why I decided to go there. It was just near where we were, and I'd been to some other camera stores. And
nice and shiny.
The store is very shiny. The staff are very friendly and awesome. And then just those cameras, I didn't expect them to feel so good in your hands.
Yeah.
I thought it was all kind of a bit wanky, a bit wishy-washy, like, hey, Leica, they're awesome. Just like buying a Rolex watch or something. But now I'm noticing all the things about Canon that is not as nice as far as user interface goes. And that sort of gets in the way of being creative. And I thought that was all woo-woo, but after a very short amount of time with my hands on the cameras in the store, I'm becoming a believer.
Yeah, they're all handmade, aren't they?
To some extent,
yeah.
I've been digging deep into I've been like a rabbit hole for a few days. Hello, Yelena.
Hey,
hello, hello, Kenneth. How are you?
Hey, mate.
Why did I decide to go there so you could talk cameras with someone?
Not cutting it.
Honestly, I walked in there and I kind of expected it to be, you know, sort of look but don't touch. They probably get a lot of people in there just kicking tires and stuff like that, which is kind of what I was doing. Like, I wasn't going in there to buy a camera. But I had also looked at that Leica Q2 online for years since it came out, because it's a very cool camera. Do you know what the Q2 is?
I've had a brief look at the Leica website, but it's well out of my price range, so I quickly closed it.
It's got pretty scared. Crazy. But the Q2 is basically a point and shoot, but it's an amazing point and shoot. It's got a 28mm 1.7 lens on it, like that lens.
How long was he in there?
It wasn't that long, half an hour max. The lens that's on the Q2 to buy separately through Leica, I think, is like $6,000 or $7,000 just on its own. So you're sort of getting that lens built into a full frame, lightweight body that I thought would be annoying to hold, but it just sat in your hand perfectly. And it only had a few controls on it, but they were only the ones you needed.
Yeah.
Anyway, I sound like a Leica salesman. So the last few days I've been convincing myself that you can make great photos with any camera.
Well, you can.
But I still keep thinking about it. And it's going to be on my mind. What is interesting is when I started doing a little bit of digging, Leica are actually bringing out a Q3 soon, which might either mean that, you know, maybe I'd be interested in that. Probably not, because they'll be very expensive. Yeah, coming out next week. But that might bring down the price of used Leica Q2s as well.
Yeah.
So that could be an option. But this Q3 looks cool because it's got a tilty flippy screen, which will be the first ever for Leica. They've always had sort of very simple, very plain bodies. Like you can see here, like there's, you know, there's one, two, three.
There's not much going on.
And I always thought that this body would be super uncomfortable because it's so flat. But it's very small,
isn't it? Yeah.
For a full frame with a great lens on it. Anyway, so the room and specs of the Q3 are 60 megapixel sensor, which is what's in the Leica M11.
Wow.
About the same size as the Q2, but with the articulating screen. Might have wireless charging, should have USB-C charging as well. Higher price than the Q2, that's always awesome.
Yeah.
I think the Q2's Q2's 10 grand, so who knows what this will be. And then better EVF, could have internal memory. They've been doing that a bit, so you don't necessarily have to use an SD card. And
I wonder how big they could go then.
I don't know.
Especially if you've got a 60 megapixel sensor in it.
Yeah, I think it's more the internal memory is more just like a backup. You know, if you don't have an SD card in it, you can still do a bit of shooting, but you should probably still be using an SD card. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I've never been to a Leica store before. It's what you would think it is. It's a high-end kind of, you know, they make you feel great. The guy was, really friendly, really knew his stuff, especially after being in the regular camera stores in Melbourne where you don't get a lot of love.
I think I walked past it when I brought my wedding suit. I think I brought my wedding suit on the top floor of that area, whatever that it was.
Yeah. Elena said, lucky they had some boyfriend chairs for the patient girlfriends to sit in. Hey, I'm sure girls buy Leicas just as much as guys do. But yeah, very cool. Very cool. I'll be keen to go back down there. I actually saw, so the Leica SL, which is their, it's like their mirrorless full frame, you know, essentially should compete with an R5 or something like that. But again, pretty pricey. They have a loan, like a test drive thing. So you can actually test drive a Leica SL with a 24 to 70 for 24 hours in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly how it works, but you go into the store, like you pre-organize it, obviously, to make sure it's booked out for you. You go into the store and you pick it up at like 1 p.m. and then you drop it back at 11 a.m. the next day or something like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. At least you know, have a fair decent crack at having a go at it.
Yeah. Well, they obviously know if people are investing in the system, they're going to spend a fortune. So,
yeah. It's kind of that salesman trick, isn't it?
Yeah. Get it in their hands. You may end up buying one. But it is better than, you know, I went into a store and tested out the A7R5 and just, hanging on into a store. Like that camera is so complicated. It's pretty hard to figure out, you know, if it's going to suit in 10 minutes in a store when there's so much going on in the store. They're trying to serve all these customers. You know, you can't really test it out at all.
Their menu system seems pretty difficult too on the Sony.
It was complicated. I didn't love it. And same with the way their autofocus like visually bounces around and stuff like that. It was okay to hang on to. I didn't mind the ergonomics of it, but I didn't love it. It was just okay. But the shooting experience was complicated, visually complicated and distracting.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I thought I was going to be potentially buying an A7R5 last week, but going down there and putting one in my hands, I'm not that excited about it anymore. So I guess that is the big benefit of actually walking into a camera store and hanging onto a camera.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was going to get an A7R5 too.
Well, should we talk about what happened? Because you got a pretty interesting story from the last week.
Yeah.
You've shifted from Nikon to Canon pretty quickly.
Quick.
And you won a camera.
I won a camera. So is it the M50 that just came out? Was that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So on Friday, I got an email from Ted's Cameras. I'm not sure of the lady's name, but she was the social media side, and she said, I've won the Ted's Autumn 2023 competition. As you can tell by my name, pretty proud of it.
Oh, I didn't see you had done that there. The champion. You are the champion.
Yes, I'm the champion of Autumn
2023. Hang on. This is the winning photo here. This is what you entered into the comp.
I actually think I entered it. I think you could enter in a few photos.
Okay, this is what I want to find out. I
think you could put in like three.
And when did you enter? Like how long ago did you enter this comp?
I actually can't remember. I think it would have been March.
Okay, and did it cost money to enter? Is it free?
No, I just... How it was just on their... obviously looking for camera stuff. And I just seen it on... it was like on a banner. Enter this year's Autumn competition. Just upload a couple of photos. And I had some pretty good ones from when I lived up in Bright. I actually don't think that's one of my... Yeah,
I was going to say, where's this from?
That's Bright, but a little bit out. I can't remember the name of the road. It's pretty known road up there. I think James of Bright just put up a video of it and it got shared on the Australia Instagram.
Oh, really?
It was like a drone video he put up. It's in the Buckland Valley, I'm pretty sure. It's just literally 200 meters long and just trees like that.
Yeah. And I assume you photoshopped that tractor into there to make it look cooler.
No. That was legit.
I'm kidding. But yeah. How did you, like, were you just going out there hoping to get a photo or what happened?
Yeah. So I just seen it on Instagram, the road. Obviously asked a few people where it was, found out where it was just by driving around. There was actually two other photographers out there. Then that tractor sort of pulled past us and I had the 70 to 200 on.
Do you know if it was a grey Fergie? Almost looks from this angle like it could. It could be a very faded red Fergie.
Yeah,
I can tell. I no roll protection. That's a concern.
No, I actually seen a photo the other day. Someone had pretty much the same photo from this season, like
with the same tractor.
Same tractor. It's a local farmer. So the farm's to the left. When we were working up there, my boss's daughter knew the people who owned it and they showed them the photo and they said they wanted a copy, but I never got around to give them one.
Yeah, right.
I also got a photo of it. There's like a ute going past with a couple of dogs in the back.
Oh, nice.
Just wasn't as good.
So from your time living in Bright, when this autumn photo competition just popped up, you were like, I got the goods for this.
Yeah.
I already had the photos prepped Bright, and ready to go.
My Bright folder was pretty big. I got about 2,000 photos, I reckon, just from autumn.
So you entered this, you entered a couple of other ones as well, and then just forgot about it. Like, did you even remember?
Yeah. No, I forgot. Obviously email Friday saying I won. That's when I sent through the screenshot and I thought it was a scam. Because you always get the people being like, oh, you've won this competition.
Yeah, click this
and
link.
Then like, oh, yeah. And then all the prices weren't matching up because even the price there is wrong. It was $12.99 that I won because that's how much the kit was worth.
Yep.
But then they had $1,500 on there. Then it was $1,200, $1,300.
Yeah, okay. So the slightly out of sync communication from them made you worry that it was not legit.
Yeah, but I was going down to Ted's the next day anyway, just trade in a bit of my gear. Went in there, showed the manager the emails, and she went out the back because she was a bit skeptical too.
And so she didn't believe that you'd won the comp either.
And because I asked for store credit instead of the camera because I wanted a good camera.
M50 is a great camera, but you were already, this is the crazy thing, you were in the market for a new full frame camera and you were going to either go Sony or Canon. And you were pretty keen to buy one even before this comp. You were sort of keen to buy one in the next week or two.
Helped me pull the trigger.
Pushed you over the line. So this is the thing. You won a Canon M50, and then what you asked them, could you swap that for like a credit towards a...
Yeah, I just asked for store credit instead of the camera, and they said that was fine. And then
For what amount? Like the same amount?
Same amount, yep.
Yeah, that's cool. Good job, Teds.
Yeah. And then, the manager went out the back. She was out back for probably 10 minutes making phone calls.
Yeah.
And then she came out and she's like, oh, no, it's legit. So we're already in the process of trading in me cameras and lenses. I traded in the D850 and two lenses.
Yeah. And so they're one of the few places that do trade-ins too, by the sounds of it. I didn't even know they did that.
It's not even trade-in. It's actually they pay...
So you don't have to buy a camera. You could just sell them your camera.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, that's cool. Yep. So you found that the prices they were offering weren't too bad compared to, say, what you would get for it selling it on Marketplace if you can dodge the scammers?
Dodge the scammers. And I started at the prices that they were saying, or maybe it might have been $100 more, and I was getting nothing.
Really?
Not even scammers.
Interesting. So no one was keen to buy.
No, I actually got ripped on in one of the groups about me D850 having such a high hush shutter count. But high
shutter count. People are allergic to high shutter counts. Mm. Okay. Well, that's pretty awesome. So then, now you've traded your gear in. You've got this store credit. You're ready to buy a camera. Which one do you buy?
Picked up the A7IV because that's the closest they had to the A7R5. Just didn't feel that good. The menu systems and all that rest of it was just not good. And I picked up the R5 and I was just like, I think this is it. Does everything I want it to do.
Yeah. Felt comfortable in your hands.
Felt comfortable. Yeah. And I was a Canon shooter before the Nikon. So,
So, what about lenses? Nice camera shot, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. Just a 24-70 2.8. It's what I used when I was around Japan. Majority, I think, besides two photos.
How does that 24-70 feel? Is it heavy on the R5? Does it feel okay?
That's pretty good. It's a lot better than the D850 with the 24-70 on it.
Yep.
It's just feels nice.
Feels nice.
It's that bit smaller, bit lighter.
Yep. How much shooting have you done with it so far? You done anything?
Very, very little. I'm keen to actually go out and I'm going up to dinner plane tomorrow night, so I was going to take it with me.
Nice. That'll be cool.
Yeah. If we can fix the problem up there quick enough.
Get to take some photos.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Very cool. So you went from, not sure what camera you were going to buy to coming home with an R5 in the space of a couple of days, all thanks to entering a photo comp. I don't know. I guess there's no reason not to. There's, no reason not to enter a comp. I was looking here. So here's some of the winners from...
that's cool.
From previous ones, they just have different. This one was blue, and then this one was summer. It's a cool photo. And all these people are winning. Like, this was a $1,300 Nikon camera,
cool. They're pretty good prizes, so
And then, so click here, enter our latest competition. What is it? Winter,
yeah, cool.
I do have some winter photos.
Yeah, chuck him in. See, oh, mate, upload a photo.
Oh yeah, here we go. Okay.
You can see what's the top one with the at the servo.
I don't know, just hanging with my master. Anyway, I might enter because why not?
Exactly. It's free.
It's free. Sounds like an ad for Ted's. I promise you, this is not an ad for Ted's.
No. I went into Ted's. But if they want to sponsor us, go ahead.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I went into Ted's CBD. I got helped, but I can't say the camera store experience is not amazing these days. It wasn't fun. It was pretty busy. It was hard to get a look at a camera. It took, you know, had to wait sort of 15 minutes to look at a camera, and then, you know, I didn't feel like I got a lot of assistance in.
Yeah. It was a Saturday afternoon too, wasn't it?
That's true. It was a Saturday afternoon. And people were probably winding down. It was like an hour or two before they closed, I feel like Ted's did the right thing as far as giving you a store credit. That's great.
Yeah, because otherwise you end up with something that you don't want.
And you got to sell that.
Yeah. No, it was a good outcome.
Yeah, very good outcome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Autumn photo champ.
I thought you'd like that.
Have you entered photo comps before?
I've actually submitted one when I lived in Trentham. I entered in... Maybe it was just one photo. No, it was two photos into a competition, and I got nothing for it. They were pretty... Looking back now, I thought... Back then, I thought they were awesome photos. But when I look at them now, no. They're out of focus everywhere.
Yeah.
They're cool photos for Instagram, but when you actually look at it on paper, you're like, oh, that's all out of focus.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it's not something you do a lot. It's not like you've entered every photo comp you've ever seen.
No,
you
know, I think that was the second or third.
Yeah, right. Very lucky. Very cool. What was I going to show you? Tell me what you think of this. So Peak Design, who obviously are an amazing company, like I used to have their this thing over here, the plate, what's it called? It's like a camera plate holder thing. Capture clip or something like that. I used to have that back in the day. They make great stuff, great bags, great camera straps, not leather, but still nice. but yeah, they make cool shit. I don't know about this. This is weird. It's like a little mini hand strap for small cameras. But it only goes on a couple of fingers, and then looks like you got like a claw, and it freaks me out.
Trying to visualize that.
Well,
no, that wouldn't work.
Yeah, but they're marketing it that you could skateboard
for small.
Well, you know, you could skateboard with your Leica Q2 because that's definitely something.
So that's why you're looking into it.
No, it was just a coincidence actually. But they've obviously used Leica Qs in the marketing because why wouldn't you? I'll have to test it because not that I want one, but just be interesting to see. I can't imagine Peak Design making something that isn't good.
Does he have one as well as a strap on?
Yeah, which is also pointless.
Defeats
the purpose altogether. This is the thing. This is the annoying thing. It says easy access to batteries. No, you have to take you have to take the base plate off. So it's like not easy access to batteries. Easy access to batteries would be not putting this on your camera.
A plate on there, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the biggest downside for this is that I don't know, maybe if you're just cruising around, it doesn't matter too much, but if you ever change batteries on a shoot, it's usually something you do very, very fast because you just realize that you're getting low on battery and you're like, shit, change batteries. The last thing you want to be doing is unscrewing a base plate, even though it does come with a hidden integrated tool to unscrew it. You still have to unscrew it to change batteries or...
I guess you'd just have to loosen it, wouldn't you? And then it would go... Yeah. You slide it off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the thing. That I'm sure they've thought of all this stuff and it's probably useful for some people, but yeah, I don't... I've never dropped a camera either, so it's probably not something I'm too concerned about. But yeah, anyway, I saw that and I thought it was interesting.
No lucky micro clutch.
I don't think we won't be making one of those. But it's already raised like $750,000, so go them.
What?
It's their 11th Kickstarter. That is one cool thing about Pig Design as well. They've done a lot of Kickstarters. Like, that's how they started, so they kind of keep doing them, even though they probably don't need to, but they still do them. It's just, I don't know, it's how they roll.
Wow.
But yeah, maybe the camera life should run a photo comp. Maybe we should.
I'm down.
Yeah, do you think I would win or do you think Grant would win? Oh, you mean
for other I think people she meant other people. Yeah. Oh, right.
Okay. Well, I'll still want to answer. I bought a lens today.
Ooh, what did you buy?
I bought the Canon RF 50 1.2.
And why did you do that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think maybe because I went to the Leica store and I'm hoping that maybe this lens will stop me from buying a Leica.
You just wanted to buy something as expensive as a Leica or?
Maybe. So one of the things that tipped me over the edge is it's on sale at the moment and Sun Studios had it really on sale. It's the cheapest I've seen it. And those lenses hold their money really well. So it's not a big risk for me to use it for a few months. And the plan is that either my 28-70 f2 or the 51.2 will be staying. I've just got to figure out which one. It will be interesting also to test it against this, the little nifty 50 that I can't get the camera because I'm not very good at this. So test it against that. I've been using this a bit lately and I have been really enjoying it, but it definitely has its... While it's awesome and light and cheap, it's certainly got some optical flaws and stuff. So it'd be good to see, do I really notice that or do I not care that much? Play around with it a bit.
Yeah.
So I actually shot, I should, let me try and share this other screen. I shot a few weeks ago. I think I told you, but.
Don't know if you did.
No, I see. Oh, here we go. So I shot this shoot, this mountain bike shoot. I couldn't show you a few weeks ago because this bike was still not released, but it's released now, so I can. I shot this entire shoot on the RF 16mm 2.8 and the RF 50mm 1.8. So Canon's two cheapest prime lenses.
Oh, yeah.
They're budget primes, and just those two lenses. And it was raining. And they're not weather sealed. So basically, you know how people like, and I agree with them, but still, people like Frono's Photo will say invest in good glass, camera bodies aren't important, glass is important, always invest in good glass. This was the opposite. I was using the R3, but with Canon's two cheapest lenses. And honestly, I think I've got a good case for great body. Average glass also works really well. Because I'm pretty happy with how these turned out. You can't really see because the resolution won't be good on the screen, but they're sharp. It was really dark too, so these were all at like 6400 ISO.
Yeah, again, right.
If you had a cheap body, that's not going to be great. And autofocus was actually surprisingly pretty good. And the other challenge I put myself to with these are all JPEGs.
Yeah, right. So
straight out. So if I edited them, they would definitely be a little bit punchier, but I was pretty happy with the overall look. And
impressive.
The variety of shots that I could get with just two focal lengths. Yeah. And I shot video too.
Yeah.
So
what made you shoot just JPEG?
I just wanted to see.
Yeah. Did you tell them that at all? Or?
Tell who?
The clients.
No. They wouldn't know. I mean, I wouldn't do it if I thought... I shot RAW plus JPEG too. So if I got home and thought the JPEGs were average. Yeah, for sure. I would have just edited the RAWs. I supplied the JPEGs only after I looked at them and thought these actually look great at the style of edit. I spent a fair bit of time setting the JPEG picture style up in the camera to be how I wanted it. I customized it to try and get it to be the look that I wanted. But yeah, that 16 mil particularly performed pretty well. You know, that's a lot of the shots are the 16 mil. And it's not the sharpest, but considering how light and cheap it is, it's a great option. Yeah. Because I can't explain how hard it is to actually get these shots, because that's in the 16 mil. So he's coming in that fast off this drop, and then that
and you'd be so that, close. Yeah,
I'm very close to him. I actually put the R3 in the full autofocus point mode where it just did what it thought it should do, and it nailed it. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Even with bits of grass in front of the screen, it was raining, and you can't really tell it's raining because it wasn't raining heavy.
Yeah,
like you can see enough. Some of the droplets there.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, it certainly wasn't heavy, but it was enough to worry me that these weren't weather sealed lenses. There were scorpions.
Oh wow, I don't think I've ever seen a scorpion in real life, in the wild.
They're around. It wasn't a big scorpion, but yeah, that caught us by surprise. But yeah, it was getting pretty wet by the end of the shoot, and it all held up really well. We got the shots. It did the stuff, you know, it was sharp. So the moral of that story is today I bought a $3,000 lens, but those cheap lenses were great.
Worked fine.
They worked fine, and I don't need the other one. But anyway.
I think that's the problem. You start looking and you're just like, oh, I could get that. I could get that. I'll just get it.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. I mean, the problem is that lens. So when I originally shifted to Canon, Canon sent me a kit before I bought stuff. They sent me a kit to test out and to do some photos for the camera straps with. And it was an R5, and that 50mm lens was in there. And ever since I used it just for a couple of days, I still think about it, you know?
Yeah.
But I've resisted buying it because I'm like, I really don't. I don't shoot with it that often. But now that I've been shooting with this nifty 50 for a little while, I'm like, I think my kit would be the 15-35, the 70-200 as my do everything focal lengths, and then the 50mm as the special lens that I bring. Whereas I've been using that 28-70 f2 a lot, and that kind of, I thought that would get more use. But lately I've been favoring the 70-200 instead of it and just leaving it at home. So the 50 sort of fills the gap nicely and a bit more creative, I think.
Yeah. The 15-35 is a cool looking lens.
It's amazing.
I think I'm going to get that next.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's the one that I'd like to change. Mainly because I shoot it wide open a lot. So wide open and also at its widest focal length at 15. Yep. So I could get away with just using that 16 mil a lot. That was part of what this test was about too. So I don't know. It's pretty heavy. There's an F4 version that is pretty good and light, but it's also a lot. It's definitely not as sharp, and then you lose that full stop of light as well. So I don't know. It's a great lens. You would definitely like it, but I would certainly maybe consider just getting the 16mm in the meantime.
And
just not worrying about, because you've got down to 24 on a really sharp,
nearly
24
there.
To 70. Yeah. You're very close. The 16mm will probably get you out of trouble and keep you a lot lighter weight and stop you worrying about spending another $3,500 on a lens for a while, I think. So test out mine. You'll like it.
Yeah. And especially if I'm looking for a 500mm.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the other thing. Do you think you'd get the 70-200 2.8, or do you think you'd maybe skip it completely and just get the 100-500?
I don't know. I was even, Because what's the other one? The EFs for Canon lenses with the adapter.
Because
you can pick up, pick up some pretty decent priced lenses, and they still perform well.
Yeah, and if you're not too worried about the size, because they are a bit bigger, and if also the thing that annoys me is using one adapter, and then some lenses need an adapter and some don't, and your adapter is just another bit of gear to manage. But if you're particularly just thinking about buying one lens that needed the adapter, you could kind of leave it on that lens all the time. And you might have heard, but Jay Collier on Monday was saying he prefers the EF. He's still happy to shoot with the EF 100 to 400 and hasn't bothered buying the RF version yet, even though most of his other glasses are RF. He likes it. He thinks it's sharp. Autofocus is great. And
just need to buy that, then we can go to Africa.
Buy that and save up the however much we need to go to Africa. 50 grand, 30 grand.
I can't
remember what he said, but when he said it, I was like, whew, probably not. It was pretty not pricey. For me.
I did look him up, the tours.
I think there would be cheaper options that are still good in terms of he might even do cheaper options. I think he was getting at that the tours he's doing this year particularly are like all time. You've been to Africa before, but you want to do something super special kind of tours. So maybe his regular tours aren't quite as crazy expensive.
Yeah.
You know, stay in the tents instead of the baller.
The five-star.
Five-star resorts. That would be cool.
We'd start up a Bendigo Tours workshop.
He could run a workshop. He's running I saw he just launched today. He's running a workshop just down in Melbourne. It's like $200 for the day, like a landscape workshop where they provide the filters and stuff and take you and do like long exposure and things. So
is that partnered with someone then?
No, it's just his things. The photo workshop co. It'll just be one of the ones they're running. He might be partnered with the filter company. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
He's sponsored by Haider Filters. So they would be supplying the filter kits and stuff like that.
That's kind of like the Nissi one I done. Had Nissi there, but then they also had another, like a photographer there as well.
I was looking at on Nissi's website today. They've got a 20% off sale. Looking at getting a little ND filter for these small lenses while they're on sale, because they're like $50 or something like that. They don't make one for this diameter thread, which is annoying. So I'd have to use a stem ring. Frustrating. Just for video.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty excited because I'll be able to start doing long exposures again. Because you know, you can dial it into the Canon with in the bulb mode. You can tell it how long to open the shutter for.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So
if you want to do a long exposure, even it would be good for astro too. So you do your whatever 15 to 20 second for the stars, and then to get the foreground, you can open up for 3 minutes if you want, and it's just on the timer.
And you don't need a separate intervalometer like you used to have.
No, it's all in the camera. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, because I did. Do you know MyOps? Have you seen the MyOps trigger?
I've seen the name of it. Yeah, I've never actually looked into what it is, but now that you say it, is it like a little black thing? Yeah.
Yeah. So it just sits on the top on the top of your camera. I got it for lightning because I wanted to take a photo of light, because it's got a little sensor there.
So it can trigger when lightning goes off.
Yeah. So it's got. What way am I going there? So we got lightning. Can get that right. Yeah. And a few other things. Sound, time lapse, storm lapse. And a few other like timer and stuff.
Okay.
But I've never really figured out how to use it.
Maybe you need more practice. So the lightning, it would sense the lightning and then
it would see the light, then it would open the shutter or whatever. Yeah. I actually seen Nick Page. He went out the other day with one. But I think this is an old version, so it might not have been as good.
Yeah. It'd be fun to try. I've always loved the idea of chasing storms around, but I've never done it.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Yeah. Anyone listening ever done any storm chasing? Tell us about your storm photos. I was watching a video, like a little movie Crystal Wright made of people chasing storms. It was wild.
Yeah. Well, you know, was it DK Photography a few years ago? The Australian guy?
No.
He actually he passed away when he was chasing storms in America.
Really?
Yeah. He was an awesome photographer. DK Photography. I'm pretty sure it was.
Actually, I do. I think I do recall that now.
I think the car got blown on. I don't want to say anything bad, but I think the car might have got blown onto him or something. Something like that. Dale and Carly. Yeah, he was.
I do.
You would have seen this. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember now all the people, and they posted on his socials and stuff and explained what it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was there we go. That was him there. But like he's got awesome.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So cool. This is where he was chasing the storms. And then
look
like
at that.
That is awesome.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Imagine how much work goes into finding a photo like that. You know, like how much driving, how much tracking. You know, taking the photo is the easy part. And it's still not easy.
Finding the swell and that. But yeah, he was amazing photographer. Wow.
Very talented. Very talented.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Andrew McKenzie, evening all. Good evening to you. What's
hey,
up,
mate?
You got a winter photo in your profile pic. You can enter that into the Ted's winter photo competition and you might win a camera like Grant did.
You never know. What was the camera for the winter?
Let me check. It was a Nikon Z50. Nothing to sneeze at. Worth a shot.
Maybe Jim should enter.
Yeah, maybe. Now that we know that you can actually win and...
It's legit.
And then Ted's will give you a store credit so you can buy a camera that you're after or a lens or something. Looks like, a few cameras. Apparently Fuji might be releasing something later this month. Sony are releasing something that has got everyone not super excited. Let me find that one. Sony are releasing a vlogging camera. And it's pretty clear to tell by the silhouette. It's like one of their small vlogging cameras, which is actually pretty cool, like the ZV-1 or whatever it is. But the comments on this are so funny. Everyone's like, how many vlogging cameras are you going to make? Sony? Yes. someone else was like, until they get it right, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's same shit, different number. Yeah, funny.
Adapt or die.
Time for everyone to start vlogging. Everyone else gets kick-ass cameras while we keep getting vlogging trash with no updates to the professional alpha cameras. Guess this is Sony's new direction. Yeah, there's some sad Sony people in these comment sections. But
I'm glad I didn't go Sony then.
They're all doing good stuff. Actually,
Canon's given me more love than Nikon has in the last 4 years, just with one story on Instagram.
What did they do? Did they like it or something?
So I put up a photo of the R5. I was like, sorry, Nikon, moving to the dark side, tagged them both. Nikon has seen, I've put them in probably 100 different posts or stories. And you know, when you send like someone a message and they just leave you unseen.
Yeah.
That's me. As I posted that on Canon, probably 20 minutes later, liked the story, put a little smirky face on there. That's more love than what Nikon's given me.
So their social media's onto it.
I
actually have to say, when I was shooting Nikon, I used to tag them in a lot of stuff, and I don't think they reshared anything.
I don't think if you're one of their... If you're not one of their ambassadors, like Nikon ambassadors. Nah, don't want anything to do with you. I'm sure Jim knows all about that.
Well, it was the last holdout on the Nikon train. The last man standing. But, you know, we'll see how he goes. See if he gets that Z8.
Yeah.
What else has been happening? You been doing any shoots? I did a cool shoot on Monday at Mount Macedon. More mountain biking, which is cool. I sadly can't show you any photos because the bike isn't released yet. Again, show you in a couple of weeks. But yeah, it was really cool. It was kind of
where in Macedon?
On top of the mountain somewhere.
Oh yeah,
it's a secret squirrel location. It's been logged and it's got mountain bike trails and stuff there. Because it's been logged, it's all completely open. So
yeah,
I could do drone footage without too much fear of hitting a tree. Which is one of my specialties. Like a tree magnet. And could use longer lenses than normal. So I was getting some use out more of open. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 70-200 and stuff. It was fun. Really fun actually.
Yeah.
Had a great time. The sun was out, so it was sort of this really bright, harsh light. It was cool.
Speaking of my ops, the trigger before.
Mm.
Let me just share this. Do you use what's the one where it shares, like where you can see where the stars and sun's gonna be?
Photo pills.
Or yeah, do you use photo? Pills.
I used to use the photographer's ephemeris, but photo pills is it's got more stuff in it for me, and it's a bit easier to use.
So this is on. So my ops have brought out one, basically exactly the same thing. Yeah, but it's a subscription.
Oh,
so it's like $10 to $20 a year to be able to use exactly the same stuff what you can get with photo pills that you pay a once-off fee for.
Once-off fee. I wonder if it's got anything that's better.
Yeah, I downloaded it, but I couldn't click into anything without having to buy it, so I just deleted it.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I did see that pop up in my news, but yeah, I was like, I don't need that. But yeah, it does look like it just basically just does sun and moon tracking.
Yeah.
Which
it's got your ND calculator, time-lapse calculator. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was nothing like, nothing amazing, but yeah
just the usual. Well, it's photo pills. Honestly, the first time I pulled it out was last night when we were talking about going out and shooting
Astro.
Just checking where everything was at this time of year. I haven't used it for ages. Every now and then at weddings for checking where sunset will be and stuff like that.
But yeah.
Yeah. Not that much.
I use it a fair bit, even for, so if I go meet clients at their shoot and you're a couple of months beforehand, just to be like, oh, we might be standing here or here, just depending. And then I pull it out and I'm like, oh, yeah, the sun's going to be here at that time. And they get pretty impressed when you show up at that time. They're like, oh, the sun is there.
Yeah. You predicted it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Magic. Crazy.
So before you were saying you wanted to shoot not for money anymore.
Not I don't want to completely not shoot for money. I want to know what my photography is when it's not, when I'm not shooting for money. Because at the moment I don't know if I know what that is. And that's why I think I need to buy a Leica.
I think that's a good thing about landscapes and even like wildlife. Like you're just doing it because you enjoy it.
Yeah, and there's no real commercial.
But there's a potential to get paid for it.
Yes,
without having to get paid. Yeah.
I think it's we've got some travel coming up, and then hopefully more later in the year. I'm like, you know what I was thinking? I want a camera that I can shoot a handful of photos every day. And I know people are going to be like, use your phone. But my problem is my phone, it gets all clogged up and stuff. And the photos aren't great. You never look at it. You know, like, it's not what I want. So I use it. It's great, but it's not what I want.
I have about 2,000 photos of my dog and I never look at them.
Yeah, exactly. And then what I also want is a workflow into a camera roll that is just those photos. You know, like just because the camera roll in my phone is clogged up with junk. It's got screenshots of the Leica Q3 and, you know, it's got all sorts of crap in there. It's too much stuff to go through. I thought I would be able to, my goal at the start of whenever it was last year actually was like, oh, I'll keep my camera roll really clean. I'll delete it regularly. I don't.
No.
So do you use Lightroom Classic or Lightroom CC?
Classic.
Yeah, so do I. And because it's way better for professional work. But I'm like, maybe I could use CC for this personal stuff that I want to use. So, and yeah, 100%, Kenneth, Ricoh GR is on the list. It's if it was full frame, I would already have bought one for sure. Being crop and 2.8, I'm worried the low light's not going to be quite what I'm after, but it's definitely, I think I do need to try one and give it a, like, give it a good test. Maybe take it on a trip and use it as my main camera. But yeah, it's definitely got my eye. I would get the 28 mil version because that's the focal length that I really prefer to shoot. But yeah, so where was I going with that? Lightroom CC. Oh, Grant, you're back.
Sorry.
Where'd you go?
Pulled a gym.
Yeah,
just had to, you know, the front, the back buttons on your mouse? I accidentally clicked that.
Back button?
I didn't know what happened. Mouse? Yeah, on the mouse, it's got like a click back button. So it just went back a page on those. Yeah.
My mouse only has one button.
Yeah, it's because you've got a Mac.
Yeah.
I got a gaming computer.
Oh, you're nerd. One of those. but where was I going with that? Yeah, Lightroom CC is, I think it could be a good option. I'm worried about the data usage, but basically it syncs across all your devices.
Yep.
And it's got the same sort of controls as Lightroom in terms of editing. So I could put photos in there and it becomes the way that I edit these kind of everyday photos. And it also is kind of the photo roll for that stuff. And it syncs between everywhere. It's stored in the cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I need to do some more work. If anyone knows about Lightroom CC, let me know. What's the deal?
Well, just do it. Just start, you know,
I put a handful of photos in there. I've done that. So now I put them on my laptop and now they're on my phone. It's like magic. The issue is obviously doing that for like commercial work. I don't know what the plans are, but it would be insanely expensive because shooting 45 megapixel files, it's going to chew it up pretty fast, especially if you put RAWs in there. So, that's what I really want. I want a camera that I carry with me everywhere because that was the original reason I made the camera straps, lucky camera straps to start with, was so I could take my camera everywhere. But I don't do it as much anymore because the cameras have gotten bigger and more expensive and heavier and all that sort of stuff. So I think I want a simpler, smaller camera that still has really good image quality that I can shoot stuff on every day and that stuff stays completely separate through Lightroom CC instead of Lightroom Classic. That's what I think.
And what will you do? Just go around and show people your Lightroom Classic camera roll?
My Lightroom CC camera roll. Well, that's it's funny you say that too. Like, where do you share photos these days? You know, it's Instagram only, really, isn't it?
It's Instagram. Like, yeah, you don't put anything on Facebook.
And it's kind of weird because the quality on Instagram sort of sucks.
Mm.
So it's like, where do you share photos that other people can see? And you know, it's interesting that when I was playing around with Lightroom CC, they actually have photo sharing in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not, I don't think there's enough people using it that it's a thing yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can actually see much higher quality stuff. But obviously the only people that will be seeing it is other photographers. So that's the downside. Yeah. It's not really like, you can't really show the world. I don't know.
Yeah. And then showing people photos when they don't want to see it on your phone doesn't get the same sort of reaction as what you want.
Well, I don't think I'd be showing anyone, really. But it'd be nice to put them somewhere that other people could view them if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Kenneth says he thinks the Ricoh GRs use Sony sensors, so they might be good at higher ISO. I think they would be. I think they are good for a crop sensor, but that's the problem I always had. I've bought stuff in the past. I've bought Fuji X100s. I've had, I can't even remember. Lots of cameras. Sony RX100, which is only a one-inch sensor. Lots of smaller cameras that I thought would be a nice travel camera. And usually the user interface was too slow, or the image quality was not good. And I ended up just shooting with my main camera. I would just take the D850 with a 28mm 1.4 lens on it. And that would be the camera that I shot everything with. And honestly, that was great. But something that has that kind of image quality that's a little bit smaller would be ideal. Mm. Something like the Leica Q3.
You're just going to have to bite the bullet, I think.
Look, I would do a lot of testing before I spend that kind of cash. And I'd have to sell some gear to make it happen too. But that's the thing is, even though I bought a lens today, I'm realizing that I've definitely got more gear than I need to do the work that I do. So if it got to that, I would definitely simplify the kit a bit. And
yeah.
But I don't know. What are you like? How do you take photos on a daily basis with your big camera, or do you only pull it out when you're trying to like
go on a shoot? Now it's only since I got this, we go like walk around the lake with the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I walk around the lake with the dog every now and again, I try and take it with me, but do it the same walk every day. But when we're in Bright, I have my camera on me all the time. Yep. So every time we left work, camera was with me.
Yeah. And that's where you got a lot of great shots.
Yeah. And I was more excited to go out, but being back here in Bendigo, I probably lost a little bit of motivation.
Mm.
So I think to fill that void was to buy a new camera.
That'll fix it.
That'll fix it.
That's my strategy too.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm keen to get out and start trying to do some landscapes again. Hopefully in the near future.
When you think about going out to do landscapes, what's the, where do you start? Like do you think about the final product, like the final image, or are you just thinking of a cool location and then whatever happens, happens? Do you pick a time of day? Like how do you go about it?
Depends on the location, whether it be in time of day or not. Mm-hmm. Waterfalls, normally you try, depending if they're like enclosed or fully open, would be dependent on what time you go. So some like down the Great Ocean Road, they don't get a lot of sunlight in there, so you don't get a lot of like glare, which would stuff up all your highlights. So you can just get like one decent photo.
Mm.
But then if you're like more on the coast, you'd probably go sunrise, sunset, depending on time of year as well. I've got a map of like where I want to go, what time of year I want to go, depending on where the sun will be at that time.
Okay. So you're planning out locations in advance, even knowing that you might not get there for a while. You might not get there for 6 months or something, but you're like, all right, I want to go to this waterfall for years. At this time of day, this waterfall, and you've got an idea of the sort of photo. How do you find the locations to start with? Is it by seeing other people's photos?
Yeah, other people's photos, or a lot of just search around on Google Maps, Google Earth even.
If you do see other people's photos there, then how do you manage to go to that location and not just take the same shot?
I feel like a lot of the shots now, you always try, like for me, I always try and get that shot so you know you've got that shot, and then you can start being more creative.
So you'll take a photo that you've seen already that someone else has done, because that you're like, all right, I'll get this first.
Just safe shot,
And then start exploring to see if you can get something different.
Yeah.
Interesting.
just so you know, like it hasn't been a waste of time because most of like most of the waterfalls, generally people stand in the same spot all the time.
Yeah, well, because so, usually there's like a path that you're not supposed to go off. There's
viewing platform,
Yeah, a viewing platform. There's certain angles that sort of look good and everyone sees the same angle. So it can be hard to do something different at those, I don't want to call them touristy locations, but yeah, they're sort of, there's not a lot of exploration that can be done.
I guess.
That's why one of the places, I should see if I can find, I haven't edited any of the photos of it or the footage from when we were in Tasmania.
Yep.
Let me see if I can find it. There's a place called the Mount Paris Dam Wall.
Yeah, yep.
And it's just kind of this old dam that they've blown back open so that the water flows through it and stuff now. And it was awesome. And it felt like you were on an adventure where you could find different photos because there was no like specific spot. There wasn't. Mm. Yeah, it was really cool. Where is it?
Dun, dun, dun. But yeah, I always try and find different locations. Places that like no one, I'm sure people have found before, but they're not as popular.
So you might see cool photos, but then start searching further around the area to see what else is there. Or
yeah.
Is that like,
yeah. So, there's a waterfall. There's a few waterfalls at, Mount Buffalo. One's Rollison Falls. You've got the upper and lower. The lower one's pretty cool, but if you turn around and you look down like the stream more, it's amazing, and you never see a photo of it ever because everyone goes there.
Okay.
Oh, there's the waterfall, and then they obviously hike back up the 2K incline that they've come down. But yeah,
interesting.
You could probably walk along there for kilometers and find amazing things.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So there is still adventure and exploration to be had.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Trying to find places that are new and different and out of the way.
Yeah.
Because, otherwise you can feel like you're just chasing other people's photos around the place. I don't think I can find this. It's gone disappeared.
Which is why storm photography or wildlife might have like a different feel because you're never going to get the same photo.
That's it. Like you, and that's why, yeah.
So anything, once in a lifetime,
sports or anything like that. It's like a moment's happening in front of you that you could be in the same location, but it's new, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Completely agree.
If you had this on your Lightroom CC, you'd be fine.
Yeah, exactly. I think I've found them. I don't know if this will, because I did lots of video and stuff. But I'll quickly show you before we should probably wrap this up soon. I got to keep it short tonight. Entire screen share. I don't know. These aren't edited or anything. I don't know what's actually going to happen.
Yeah, that's a cool spot. I think I've seen that before.
Yeah, so it's this massive dam wall, but there's just like water flowing through in all different directions and there's ferns and stuff. You'll see basically all of the random photos that we would have taken while we were just poking around here. But like,
it's a lot of Jurassic Park vibes, isn't it?
It really was with the big concrete angles and stuff. I mostly took video clips while we were here, but there was, tons of sort of different, like that's the other side of the wall. But yeah, it was mostly video clips. Oh, and some drone clips and drone footage and stuff. And it was super cool.
Cool.
But like that's the location. So you got like, I don't know. all this stuff down here and there, and then it kept going down, and then another 10 minutes walk down, there was more, or not 10 minutes even, but like further down this way, there was more little waterfalls and things like that. But an area like that, I think you can go to and just wander around and find photos that no one else has.
Have a field day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's
need to
cool.
do some trips. That's what we need to do.
Mm. Great Ocean Road, I reckon, would be pretty cool. Even like down the Otways.
Oh yeah, yep.
Because it's just never ending.
Mm. Be cool to in winter to go up through Kosciuszko, that kind of stuff. Mm.
Do you see the video of the emus the other day up at Mount Hotham?
No.
No? I don't know if I'll be able to find them quick enough.
That's okay.
Running on the road. That was pretty cool video.
Our wonderful listeners will wait. Maybe someone will throw something in the chat for us to talk about in the meantime.
Hopefully.
That'd be nice.
Has anyone been out shooting? That's a good question.
Mm.
Where is it? 18th of May, overnight. I'll have to pull out the old.
Just trying to see how long the silence can be. I've already broken it. I was going to just let it roll.
Hold on. Oh, let's stop playing. All right, so this is Miss Know It All. Do you follow her?
No.
It's just a Facebook page. Lots of snowboarding stuff. But this is the video. Okay, full screen.
Not a festival announcement.
Wow. That's cool. Crazy.
They're slipping on the road because you can see the ice there.
Oh, poor emus.
Yeah, but I've never seen emus up there before.
No, I've never. So I've
that's
seen
the Mount Hotham Road.
I've seen deer. That's it.
Yeah. Wow, I don't know what side of the road that is. Like if it's Omeo side or Bright side.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But yeah, I'm going to have my camera there ready just in case.
Hopefully you get something. Well, I mean, all you got to do is go out at like the half an hour around dusk and dawn.
Yeah.
Like the light there is crazy.
Yeah. I love Hotham for that.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. So you get that beautiful like silhouetting in the mountains as it gets further and further away and different layers and stuff. I think our background that we've got now that you can't quite see, I'm pretty sure that's Hotham.
Oh, really? Yeah, cool.
I think so. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Hopefully you come back with something for next week's show. Bring us the goods.
Yeah, that's if we're going up to fix a boiler unit because it's died. So depending how long that takes.
You'll be right. Get it done. Get out and do some shooting.
Yeah, test out that's the if R5. My mate wants to come out.
Nah.
But if not, we can go up one weekend.
Well, we should. We should do that too. Make a trip.
Yep.
Get some shots. All right, will we leave it there?
Yeah, considering Elena's the only one chatting to us.
She's always good for keeping us company.
She's probably jumped onto another podcast though, so
a more exciting one.
Yeah,
She's probably not excited about the me going probably back put to the, sleep. The Leica store. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Good to see you.
You too.
See you next week. Hopefully, we'll have an interview for next week yet, but it's not locked in, so I got to keep it on the down low until we lock it in.
All right.
It'd be exciting.
Oh, we just wake her up.
Yep. She's still here. All right. Goodbye.